Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burt. Thanks so much for tuning into our EN channel. And as always, I want to remind you that God has got a word for you. God has got a word for you today. And so listen, we're in our Advent series, and today we're going to talk about Advent, the dawn of love. And I want to talk to you about love, and I'm probably going to go to the most well-known scripture in all of the Bible, and that is John 3:16. Let me read it to you. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16. It's funny, you don't have to be a Christian to know that Bible verse, you know? Did you know that In-N-Out Burgers, if you've not had one of those, shame on you, okay? That In-N-Out Burgers, they actually have John 3:16 in the bottom of all their beverages. That they have that Devin Jones, monster truck driver, that he has emblazed on the side of his monster truck, TYG, "Thank you, God." And then it says, John 3:16. Keith Urban, he has an album out, and it's called John Cougar, John Deere, and you guys can wait for it, in John 3:16, right? That do you know that in the 70s they had a crazy guy by the name of Stuart Roland, and he was crazy. He would later on be incarcerated, okay? But Stuart Roland, he was known as Rockin' Roland, and he would wear this a rainbow afro, and on his shirt would be John 3:16. It actually started a trend that you'll see at almost every NFL and college football game, that in the end zones, they'll have John 3:16 up. While we're talking football, do you know that there was a young quarterback at the University of Florida? He was in to play, they were playing Oklahoma on a nationally televised game. This young quarterback's name was Tim Tebow, and he had emblazed on his eye black, John 3:16. Did you know that after that game, and they saw Tim Tebow with John 3:16, that there were over 94 million Google searches on what is John 3:16. Fast forward a few years later, Tebow is actually the quarterback for the Denver Broncos. They are miraculously in the AFC playoffs. They're playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The game is epic. It goes into overtime. Tebow throws an 80-yard touchdown pass to win the game. I remember I was screaming like a little girl, okay? And so, but it's fascinating, and I'd love to read for you the conversation he had with his PR director of the Denver Broncos immediately following the game. It says this, the PR director says, "Timmy, do you realize what happened?" Tim responded, "Yeah, we just beat the Steelers. We're going to play the Patriots." "No, do you realize what happened?" Patrick asked again and then says, "It's exactly 3 years later from the day that you wore John 3:16 under your eyes." He says, "Oh, that's really cool." He goes, "No, I don't think you realize what happened. During the game, you threw for 316 yards. Your yards per completion were 31.6. Your yards per rush were 3.16. The ratings for the night were 31.6, and the time of possession was 31 minutes and 6 seconds. And during the game, 91 million people Googled John 3:16. It's the number one trending thing on every social media platform. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Can I tell you, my prayer for you today has been this, that you would feel attacked by the love of God, that the love of God would be overwhelming to you today as we talk about love in the Advent season. I pray that you would feel God's unending love for you and me. And so that's my prayer for us today. And so John 3:16, it begins, "So God so loved the world." I love that John goes on in the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he says that God is love. God is love. And so the only way God could be love is if God were Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. And in this Trinity is this perfect love relationship, man. Theologians actually have a name for it. They call it perichoresis. It literally means to dance around and to celebrate, man. It's the Spirit just celebrating the Father, who's always celebrating the Son. And there's this, man, this glorious celebration. It's Trinitarian love, perichoresis. And for the record, the God kind of love, man, I think we need to have that kind of love. Like, listen, I don't mean to be sacrilegious here, but I think it makes my point that the Trinitarian God kind of love, it's much more canine than feline. And so here's what I mean by that. Man, your dog, like when you come home, what happens, man? Your dog loses its mind. You know, just freaking out, jumping up and down, man. Some of them is going to wet himself. They're just so excited to see you. And when you come home and your cat sees you, your cat could care less, right? So you see what I mean? Like we need to be much more canine in our love. It's the way the love of God works. It's a celebratory, it's an other-oriented love. And so that's what we need to do. Do you know, if you ever think about it, that God designed you to walk in an other-oriented love. That it's why the great commandment is to love God and to love people. In other words, you and I were designed by God to have our eyes up on Him and onto other people. But theologians, they know what happened. Like when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they said that our eyes turned in on ourselves. They call it the incurvature of the soul. And the soul will eventually collapse in on itself. Why? Because you and I were designed to have an other-oriented love, to love God and to love people. So you better not weaponize this on me, okay? I'm just going to come clean and let you know that I've watched several Hallmark movies during this Advent season, okay? Don't judge me. I have daughters at home, okay? And so, but it's kind of crazy. You know, it's the same movie over and over and over again. And it's funny, we can't get enough of it. Because if we were honest, there's something about that romance period, right? New, fresh love. Like, do you remember that time, man, when you just found your girl or your guy, and there's that sweet season, man, where you're together. ladies, like you are so consumed with your man that listen, man, you just dump all your girlfriends, right? And you're just waiting for the phone to ring or that text to come on through, right? You're waiting for your man. And fellas, man, don't try and play cool with me. Man, you get your girl, man, and you're just gaga over her. You know what you wind up doing? Like, you start doing stuff that you used to make fun of other dudes for doing. You know it's true, man. Like you're no longer going to the game, but what, you're going to the Taylor Swift concert because your girl's a Swiftie, right? You do ridiculous stuff like, you know, like heart and, you know, it's stuff you'd mock your other brothers for, right? But now, what? Romance, man. And there's just something magical about that season. Why? It's because for this brief moment in time, you're consumed with another. Your eyes are up. And it's what the way we've been designed to live, man, to have our eyes on other people in other-oriented love. Love God and love people. It's why Jesus can say this. You want to find real, meaningful, deep life? He says, give your life away. It's an other orientation. It's perichoresis. And so a little Christmas trivia while we're in Advent season is, can you tell me the largest Christmas gift ever given? Dun, 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 dun. Okay, you ready? The largest Christmas gift ever given was, wait for it, the Statue of Liberty. Like Lady Liberty, man, she stands 305 feet tall, and she was a gift from the French, man. And what kind of an awkward gift, right? Like, do you ever have people give you these large things, and you're like, oh my gosh, do I have to hang that on my wall now? And so come on, we've all had those moments where people buy you a painting or something, and you just got to put it up when they come, and then it comes right back down after they leave. So don't judge me, man. Don't judge me. You do it too. All right. So that's the largest Christmas gift ever given. But can you tell me the greatest Christmas gift ever given? And I would submit to you, it's the gift of God's one and only Son. I'm not sure if you've seen the Christmas story. If you haven't, shame on you. And you'll get about a million opportunities to watch it during the Advent season. And it's the story of Ralphie and his Red Ryder BB gun. And just a kind of interesting is, do you know they made a Broadway play of A Christmas Story, and then they converted it into a TV show. And so the Broadway play, the musical score, was actually written by a young man in my church. His name is Justin Paul. He wrote the musical score for Dear Evan Hansen and several other Broadway hits. And by the way, if you think I'm bragging, I'm not. I'm name dropping. It's just a little bit different. And so I did what every good pastor would do when one of you, your congregants writes a musical Broadway play. You ask him for tickets, man. And so Justin hooked me up with four tickets. And so me and a couple of friends, man, and my wife, and we just shot into Manhattan. And if you've ever tried to drive into Manhattan during the holidays, 40 days and 40 nights, man. And so we were going to be late, so I couldn't find any parking in Manhattan, so I just kind of pull over, dump out my crew, tell them to save my seat, right? And I go and I do what every good Christian would do. Man, I start praying, interceding, speaking in tongues, whatever you got to do to have God get you a parking spot. And sure enough, man, I finally get my parking spot. I come running in to the theater, and as I do, man, it's like 8 billion degrees, so I just peel off my jacket and all the layers, and as I'm kind of scooching through the chairs to my seat, my jacket got caught on one of the other chairs, and I'm violently pulling my jacket, and it just wouldn't break free. And then I looked, and it wasn't actually stuck on another chair. It was actually stuck on a little girl's pigtail, and I'm pulling it as hard as I can. And so, and if you feel like, oh, you're a horrible human being, yes, I am. That was horrible. Her daddy got up and wanted to punch me, and I'm like, bro, you should punch me, you know? And anyways, but listen, the play picked back up again, because when it started, it was fantastic. It was moving and stirring, and it had a twist from the TV version that you see every Christmas. See, at the end of the production, an aged Ralphie just takes a lone spotlight on the stage, and Ralphie says, hey, let me tell you about the greatest Christmas ever. It was the Christmas that I received my Red Ryder BB gun. He says, but it wasn't the gun that made it so incredible. It was the fact that I received it from my father, right? And it was just a stirring, touching thing. And I got news for you, man, that the greatest gift ever was given to you by your Heavenly Father. It was the gift of God's one and only Son. I love it says in 1 John 4:9, it says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Like did you catch that, man? That love, it was made manifest in the person of God's one and only Son, that God became a man, the incarnation. So I've been waiting to use this piece for years, man, because if you ever heard the Russian comedian Yakov Smirnoff, man, he has this great little bit, and he was asked what he loves about America, and he says, the greatest thing about America are the grocery stores. He says, the first time I went to a grocery store, he says, I walked down an aisle and saw powdered milk. Just add water and you get milk. He says, right next to it was powdered orange juice. Just add water and you get orange juice. And then I saw baby powder. And I thought to myself, what a country. What a country, right? Hey, what a God. That God would become a baby. And in so doing, man, love would be made manifest for you and for me. I mean, if you ever stop and just think about that God condescending and becoming a man, getting down on our level. Don't we do that with our kids? Like we get down on their level. Why? So we can know that I see you, that I understand you. And do you know that Jesus, if you've ever thought about, like he put on flesh and he became what? A marginalized son of a carpenter. That he was born as a Jew, an oppressed people by the Romans. He lived a really, really hard life, man. He was betrayed with a kiss. He was abandoned by the 12 disciples. That he was falsely accused, brutally beaten, and then hung on a cross. I don't know about you. I'm not signing up for that stuff. But in Christ, man, the love of God was made manifest. The incarnation, like listen, see, God knows what it's like to be you and me, because he put on flesh and became a man. And so I think you'd kind of get this, like there's head knowledge and then there's experiential knowledge. And man, you could have all the knowledge you want in your head, but until you experience it, it's just different, right? And so my wife, Susan, I mean, you could read a book about my wife that she has sandy blonde hair and green eyes, that she's unbelievably talented at whatever she does, that she loves to make things and create things with her hands. She also says she hates chocolate despite the fact that she eats it often, okay? So you can know all these facts about my wife, but you don't know my wife because you haven't experienced her. I've experienced my wife and I know her. And in the same way, God knows what it's like to be us. Like we can never tell God, you don't understand. He does understand. And he knows it's scary to be us because he put on flesh and he actually became us. He has an experiential knowledge of what it's like to live in a Genesis 3 sin-broken world. He's called a sympathetic high priest. That sympathos, he's experienced the same feelings as you and I, and now he's compassionate and understanding because that love became a man. And I wanted to show just kind of what it looks like on the human level. This, if you can get your head around this, that I'm going to show you a father and a son, and his son's going to have his shots, and he knows he's going to go through a difficult time, but this sympathetic father is there for him. Why don't you check this out?
I got to go down here, all that noise, and she got to go into the dark. She going to be peaceful, but I ain't going to be peaceful, Rich.
Good boy.
Take her like a champ, man, you know. Stay warm.
Good boy.
You going to be all right. You keep looking at me. There you go, look at me. You going to stay strong. Stay strong, man. Stay strong. Hey, look at me. You gotta look at nobody. Hey, look at me.
Good
you get
down.
Come on up. We gotta do good. Look, so now we're gonna get these shots. Look at me now. They take JBR. You're gonna be good. I know you're gonna cry, but it's okay to cry. It's gonna be okay. It's okay to cry. So come on and get these shots right quick so we don't get our waist. I can hear you scream and cry when you're in the car. But I know you're gonna be hard. Gonna be all right.
Lay him on the table for me,
Quan. Uh-oh, here we go. You ready? Come on. Come on. Now you got to look. Now look. Now you're gonna be all right. Hold, I got your hand. I got you. Dad, hold on to you. I got you. God damn, you strong, boy.
Pumpkin.
Oh, man. Come on, man. I feel you, man. Come on, man. Daddy, look. Come on,
let's go. Are you videotaping this?
Man, I know it, man. Look at daddy. You gotta look at daddy. Oh, man. I know she's thinking you got any kind of way, man. Come on, man. I know it. I know. Come on, Dad. Come on, man. They did you wrong. You need to explain to Dad. Yeah. What she did to you? She did. She spun it in you. It hurt. Okay, come on now. Okay. Daddy, him. Told Daddy gonna heal. Well, you strong though.
Wasn't that great, man? When you just see, man, just the love of the Father, and that the Father understands the pain that his son is going through. And so God knows what it's like to be you and to be me. And I love, because of the incarnation, God put on flesh, that you and I, we don't have to guess what God is like. We can know what God is like. Why? Because love was made manifest. Jesus became a man in the incarnation. I love, if you've ever heard this story, man, little kids, and they're in their art class, and they were to draw a picture, and the art teacher asked this little boy, who was just intensely drawing away, and she says, "What are you drawing?" And he replied very confidently, "I'm drawing a picture of God." She says, "But nobody knows what God looks like." He says, "Well, they will when I get through, right?" And you and I, listen, we know what God looks like. Because he was made manifest, and his name is Jesus. The portrait of the Godhead. We can know that God is merciful as we look at the portrait of Jesus. We can know that God is kind and loving and filled with grace when we look at the portrait of who Jesus is. We can know that he's just and he's holy because we look at the portrait of Jesus, the Christ, love made manifest. And God gave his one and only Son. And the Apostle Paul would add this caveat. He says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Like, in other words, while you and I, while we were at our worst, Christ died for us. Not when we were at our best, and in those moments where we just can pretend that we're more holy than we are, but at our very worst, man, Jesus still chose to die for you and for me. It reminds me of the story of Stephen Curtis Chapman, and you know the Dove Award-winning Christian artist, there's a tragic moment in Stephen Curtis's life where he experienced what no parent should experience, that he would have to bury his 5-year-old daughter, and to make matters worse, she was tragically killed when Stephen's son William was the one who inadvertently ran her over with an SUV. He was pulling into the house, to the driveway. Maria was so excited to see her big brother. She came running out, and he just didn't see her, and he ran her over. And so the ambulance came, and the authorities, and so they immediately whisk her away in an ambulance, and as Stephen Curtis Chapman is frantically getting into his car, but before he drove away, he looked, and he saw his son William just beside himself. And Stephen Curtis Chapman, he paused. He rolled down the window of his car, and he says these words, "William Franklin," he says, your father loves you. And he drove away. And later when he was asked why he said that, he says, you know, on that day, I just couldn't afford to lose two kids. And so here's what I wonder, and here's my hope, that for some of you, this would be a roll down the window moment with the Lord. That despite the fact that maybe you're not living the life that you would want to, nor that your Heavenly Father would want you to, but you would hear these words as your Heavenly Father rolls down his window and he says, your Heavenly Father, he loves you. He loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe those are the 24 greatest words ever spoken. I mean, if I can read it to you, like these 24 words, God is the greatest lover. He's so loved, it's the greatest degree, the world, the greatest number, that he gave the greatest act. His only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest invitation, believeth, the greatest simplicity, in him, the greatest person, should not perish, the greatest deliverance, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. Those are the 24, man, greatest words ever spoken. God so loved the world. And so if you think about it, man, what greater gift could God give to you? I mean, would it be a home, a boat, a car? Like, is there some kind of handbag or jewelry or everlasting life? Life attached to the everlasting one, Jesus Christ. So if you're familiar with Ray Romano, he was the star of Everyone Loves Raymond, and you know CBS, man, about 9 seasons they were just winning Emmy after Emmy, 15 to be exact, as this smash hit comedy, Everyone Loves Raymond. But here's like a little neat story, is that you know that Ray Romano, he was born and raised in Queens, New York, and he was going to go out to L.A. to make it big in TV and movies. But before he left, his older brother, Richard, he put a note into his suit pocket as he watched his little brother head to the West Coast. And then after 9 seasons of unbelievable success, as the sitcom was about to end and the final screening, Ray Romano took a moment and he spoke a word to the studio audience. And he told the story of a note his brother gave him before he left for Hollywood. He opened up the note and he read it to the studio audience. And it was actually Mark chapter 8, verse 36. It says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" Right? And so let me close our time this way. Like Christmas really is a magical time of year. And listen, if you don't like me using that word magical, I got news for you. Like, Harry Potter doesn't get the corner of the market on the word magic. In fact, like C.S. Lewis, he'd love to use that word magical. And you know what? In The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe, he distinguished between two types of magic. And he says this, the witch knew the deep magic. He says, but only Aslan knew the deeper magic from before the dawn of time. Like, that there's a deeper magic outside of time and space, man. And only one possesses that, Aslan, or for you and I would know him as the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christmas, it taps in to the deeper magic. It just does. Like if I allow myself, man, I start thinking about my first Christmas with my then girlfriend, Susan Scott. And I remember, man, we were going to spend our first Christmas together. And listen, we were just babies, man. We were like 18 years old. And you know, we hired together this first Christmas. She actually knit me a sweater. When I went to put it on, you could put 4 people inside of this sweater. You know what? And it was just such a simple time. But when I think back to it, it was just so magical and so precious that a year after that, again, the Christmas time, I would get engaged to that woman. I can remember it was in Hartford, Connecticut, West Hartford to be exact, and I was just to turn pro, and I'm actually living in a bedroom of a home of an older gentleman who's kind of like looking after me and another rookie, and so I got my fiance like in this room, and we have this little tiny Christmas tree with the colored Christmas lights all around it, man, and I remember I just did the worst proposal you could ever think of, and you know what? It was just a magical, magical time for her and I. And then we'd eventually have children. And then it's a new kind of magic, man, right? Like there's a new part of Christmas kind of restored to you. And I remember my first Christmas, man, when our kids got it, man, and they're just excited about Christmas. We had to go to a Christmas party, and we were kind of rookie parents in that we hadn't wrapped any gifts yet. And so, man, we finally get our kids to bed about 1 o'clock, 1 a.m., and then we're trying to wrap these presents. And it was like, good Lord, like about 2:30 in the morning, we're just not even wanting to wrap. Let's just put a bow on it, right? Do that thing. And we crawl into bed about like 3 a.m. And then I don't know as a parent if you've ever experienced this, but you can feel someone staring at you. And sure enough, around 6 a.m., your kid's staring at you, Dad. It's time, right? And there's this all this excitement, kinetic energy. And listen, I have girls. And so when you have girls, man, Christmas morning, it's not like video games and toys and stuff. It's clothes. And so immediately after we open the fashion show begins. And so one by one, they'll come on and they'll try on their new outfits. And as a daddy, man, I have to just come up, like exhaust every superlative I have. Oh my gosh, you're gorgeous. You look stunning. Fantastic. Oh, I've never seen anything so magnificent, right? And so you kind of do that thing. But here's where I want to bring it back to you and the magic of Christmas is that God so loved you that he gave his one and only son. And you know, the Bible says this, that you and I, when you receive Christ, you put Christ on like a garment. And when God looks at you, he says, you're spotless. You're holy. And you're good, right? That's how God sees you, through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas, every nation. My last prayer. It was funny. My daughter showed me this Instagram post, and there was this influencer girl, and she was kind of like talking about / mocking like people that do these ridiculous, the way they decorate their house and all these blow up toys, you know, on the outside for their Christmas decoration. And so she was like, the gist of it was, don't do that. But she did highlight the nativity scene, and that she said this, that man, if you're gonna put Jesus on your lawn, just make sure he's in your heart first. And I just thought that was so profound, man, that is the reality for you and I. And do you know that in order to have a gift be a gift, it must be received. And in the same way, man, John 3:16, that if you don't receive the gift of God's Son, then it's not a gift for you. And so I want to give you the opportunity, man, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift ever given. And listen, it's as easy as A, B, C. A, admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior. B, believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that somehow his death paid the penalty for all your sins, past, present, and future. And then C, confess him as your Savior and Lord. And I pray that as you do that, that it's a way that you're inviting Christ into your life. And with the everlasting God on the inside of you, how can you ever, ever die? But he promises life and life eternal. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for our time together, God, that you love us, you're for us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the gift of your one and only Son. Lord, I pray for those that don't know you yet. Oh, Lord, may they receive you today. Lord, may every barrier and question, Lord, just fall to the ground. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would come in and fully and forever seal them, that you call them your child, your son, your daughter, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.